Welcome back in the studio with me, Sonny Parlin from Gracie Bradenton. GracieBradenton.com is where you can check it out if you're down that way, or if you're up here at Tampa, Rob Kahn is the way to go. Gracie Tampa, Gracie Tampa South. You pretty much started the Gracie Revolution, the Gracie Takeover here in Tampa. Kevin Gallagher is not going to be with us today. Jeff Bailey won't be with us today. Wade Rome won't be with us today, unfortunately. They all have legit reasons that they're not going to be here. But the first thing I want to ask Rob is, Rob, how did you meet Kevin Gallagher? I know there's a lot to that, and tell me the story.
Kevin? Hello? Can anybody hear me? Hello? Okay, good. Kevin?
Oh, that's the second time you've totally ruined it, Leah, just so you know. So thank you. Go ahead. Never mind. Forget the question, Rob.
Okay.
So,
Wow, she's taking a beating today. Holy.
As much of a beating as the show is taking. All right, guys. So without the targets that you guys had, because Rob, you called me at 2 a.m. last night talking. I'm gonna bury Kevin Gallagher tomorrow morning. Now Kevin's not here. Sonny is pretty much the nicest guy on earth. I don't think he came to bury anyone.
No, I just
kind of he's like bulletproof. Sonny's bulletproof when it comes to that. I feel that way anyway.
No, I have this really good ability to sleep when there's drama happening. I just sleep through it. Boom. And I wake up and it's over. I miss the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's wonderful. You're not a drama guy.
No.
Is that part of why you moved all the way down to Bradenton and opened a school there?
Yeah,
get away from the.
That is very true.
Tell us more. Who beat you up in Tampa?
Well, it's not that. It's just I wanted to be away from all the other gyms. Like I knew, like there's already like super saturated up there. Rob knows. I mean, it's crazy saturated jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, we started. When we started opening up so many gyms, we came to the conclusion that we really shouldn't put in any more in Tampa. Or if we're going to spread, we got to spread outside of Tampa.
Right.
And Sonny was the first one to do that and go down to Bradenton. And it's worked out great for him.
Yeah, it's worked out really well.
Yeah. And especially when there's a huge market down there. You've got Sarasota, you have Bradenton, all the surrounding areas.
That's getting built up down there.
I'm sure people from Apollo Beach and some other places maybe would trickle down there. Or do they go?
No, that's a little far.
Or how about from south of Bradenton, too?
Oh, yeah, sure. Sarasota, yeah.
Yeah, they'll come up from there.
But we also have an Apollo Beach one now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Yes. Lewis.
Lewis Mata and Gracie Apollo Beach.
And Aaron Harp opened up a gym there just recently.
So how does that work? Do you guys have, like a map that nobody else can see but you, and it has, like, borders and stuff? Like, it's like Florida's a country, but you guys have your own states?
I wouldn't say we're that...
How does that work?
We're that,
so there's no imaginary line.
We look at a map and we try and figure out, you know, where's a good demographic, where's a good
population. But also, how to not step on each other's toes either is what I'm getting at.
And how to not step on each other's toes. But there's no set, like, bound. It's not set in stone.
And if a kid wants to go to Bradenton, you guys can't say, oh, well, you live up here, so you have to go here. If a kid wants to go there to work with Sonny, I mean, it's like a school of choice. Like, you can go wherever
that would be really weird if somebody wanted to drive an hour to train with me.
I mean, if Rob Kahn and guys like if guys like Matt Arroyo and Rob Kahn and Kevin Gallagher weren't up here in Tampa, I'm sure people would drive down to Bradenton.
Oh, well,
why not?
Oh, yeah. When I first opened, I was getting people from, I mean, well over an hour away driving.
Oh, yeah. But when you first opened,
I was the only game in Tampa.
And people knew who you were, and people knew whose Hoist Gracie was. I would assume that your name and advertisements probably were in, like, magazines, like Black Belt Magazine and things like that, or something along the lines where people just recognized the name and said, oh, there's Gracie in town.
Well, it's funny, when I first opened, that was exactly right. I, because of the Hoist name and, you know, the fact that I was among his first Black Belts when Hoist gave him out, the first year, I would say, almost all the students came to me because of the Gracie name. And then the UFC came back on pay-per-view and started blowing up. And nowadays, like, it's all MMA. You know, it was all people coming in wanting to learn MMA. A lot of people coming in don't even know who Hoist Gracie is at this point, which is the weirdest thing in the world to me. It's like following baseball and not knowing who Babe Ruth is.
Right. That's incredible. That tells you how much time has gone by and where we are.
I'm still shocked, though, when I hear it, because it's like, you know...
I heard something on the UFC last night that really was just an epiphany in how much time has gone by and how old I am now. I'm not that old, but, I mean, is somebody said yesterday on the commentary, said something about the Brady Bunch show, and they said, well, if you remember that show, the Brady Bunch from the 70s, and I'm like, remember it? When I was a kid, it was just a regular rerun show on six different channels at the same time. Now it's If You Remember. I was like, whoa, that's a lot of time.
I know, and I'm a lot older than you, so get how I feel.
Can't tell. So I want to do something before I totally forget. I only invited a few people from the Gracie Network in, but there's 100% a few other honorable mentions. I definitely want to bring a few names up. And if I miss any, help me out, guys, because this is part of the farewell. And Matt Arroyo, definitely somebody, I don't have a close relationship with these people. So it just didn't feel, I wasn't going to invite everybody, but, guys like Matt Arroyo,
Gabe Maldonado, Robbie D'Onofrio.
That's right, from Brandon and...
Rick Tomas.
Well, Kevin Gallagher and Wade Rome and Jeff Bailey now, because they're not here. And I still want to hear...
Joe Bamboo Usman.
And did I say Matt Arroyo?
Yeah, he was first.
Real quick shout out. I just want to say Bamboo was like one of the first guys to Rob to like start training me down here.
Yeah.
And he was like so integral to like helping me like ease into Florida and like with my training and stuff like that. Bamboo was awesome. He's an awesome coach.
Yes.
Where's he now?
He runs Gracie Tampa West. And I just wanted to give him a shout because I love him.
He's a fantastic guy, a fantastic coach. He's been one. He was one of the OG students that I had. Him, Matt, Travis, but Bamboo was like within the first few months of me opening.
So you were part of the first six black belts to be given a black belt by Hoist Gracie, and that took 20 years, by the way. And to put that in perspective, nowadays it'll take anywhere between 8 and 10 years, depending on your level of discipline and your level of commitment. So you put in a lot of time before they kind of gave you that. And I think we've talked about this before, it's a lot more to do with marketing and money and stuff like that for them not to get the black belt up right away.
Well, the Gracie family, for the most part, is still pretty strict with their, promotions. But like anything else that hits America, it starts becoming commercialized. Mm-hmm. And, nowadays... honestly, I don't care what the belt level of the guy coming in is. I want to know who gave it to him.
Right.
That's what...
Absolutely.
If somebody comes in from Wade Rome, I know the guy's legit.
Right.
If somebody comes in from XYZ, it doesn't really mean much to me.
So from those six people, you included...
It was five of us at the same time.
Oh, so there's five. Okay, so any of those that you still
work
with?
John Burke up in Orlando is still like... he's my brother. We talk all the time. I don't talk to Pat Hardy and Greg Thompson as much, but always been good friends with those guys. Buddy Clinton, great guy, but he's moved into law enforcement, so he doesn't. I don't think he owns a school. I think he's focused more on.
He like literally shoves his
hand out here, Rob. I'm all about eye contact.
Buddy's like a federal officer now or something like that.
You just pushed him out of the
frame. He's not in the frame anymore.
I'll just wave to the...
just use your hand as a puppet. Oh, boy. So that's a lot of the original Gracies are right here in Florida. At least two of you.
Two of us are here, yeah.
Wow.
Pat Hardy's in Texas. Buddy, is, like I said, he's a federal officer somewhere. Greg Hardy runs a bunch of schools up in North Carolina. And I think that covers everybody.
Where was jiu-jitsu at when they were teaching the LAPD the chokehold? Where was jiu-jitsu with like, hey, hold on a second, you might not want to do that. You might not want to use your forearm into the carotid artery or right into the
windpipe.
It's going to kill people.
There was a major thing that happened here in Tampa that really started all that drama. They choked a guy with a nightstick like in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
and they broke his larynx, and he died. And which is why that the chokehold was banned for so long. Now they've been loosening up. They realize the effectiveness of it when it's taught right. And I've now done some seminars with some of the police agencies in this area, showing them the correct way to do the rear naked choke or the guillotine choke.
And when you say correct way to do it, are you alluding to so it's not a fatal move? Like, so it's not fatal? Like, what do you mean by the correct way?
Yeah, the correct way. So they go to sleep very quickly and there's no damage.
Right.
I mean, there's not even any like bruising.
Right.
When it's done
and very little soreness afterwards.
Nothing. You don't even know what happened.
Sometimes it happens so quickly to somebody. Like I've been demonstrating a move on somebody to the class,
and
the
out.
Person that I'm demonstrating a move on will go to sleep, and I'll realize it, and I'll, oh my god, you know, I'm like, why didn't you tap? He's like, dude, it came on so fast, I didn't even realize.
Wow, that's incredible.
Jorge and Gracie one time. Jorge and Gracie is probably the best instructor I've ever had on any topic ever.
I've heard you say that before, that he's an absolutely brilliant.
He's a brilliant jiu-jitsu mind. I mean, the way he breaks things down and teaches you the big picture of jiu-jitsu is amazing.
And when you say big picture, you mean, is a punch coming from here? Is an elbow coming from here? Like, you mean real world or MMA stuff, not just, grappling.
More the philosophy behind it. Like, you know, waiting for the opportunity, you know, setting up the mistake, not trying to force moves, creating a little bit of misdirection so that somebody does something they wouldn't normally do.
Create a mistake.
Yeah.
Make them.
To me, it's all about creating a mistake or forcing mistakes, never forcing moves. And I got a lot of that philosophy from Horion's classes. But Horion was teaching the rear naked choke. And I remember a very good friend of mine, another black belt who runs the MMA lab out in Arizona, John Crouch.
Okay.
Very well-known guy. He's, Ben Henderson was one of his students. He's got a bunch of pro fighters out there. And John was getting demonstrated on, and Horion just put one arm around his neck, and he was just discussing some of the little fundamentals. Didn't lock it in, just had the one arm around his neck, and he was talking about, you know, how loose your arm should be. And everybody's, you know, when Horion's speaking, everybody's paying attention. So is John. He's so interested to hear what Horion's saying that he doesn't realize how subtle just the one arm around his neck was. And the next thing you know, John passes out cold with one arm around his neck. And I was like, John, why didn't you tap? He goes, I was so focused on hearing what Horion had to say. I totally didn't think to tap.
That's crazy.
And he went right to bed with one arm. Why is this thing fading out on me?
There's a volume knob.
No,
the other one.
No, it's like cutting out completely.
We'll get you another pair in a second.
There we go. Now it's coming.
Okay, we'll get you another pair of headphones. Don't worry, Rob.
All right.
Rob's tapping out to the left side of his headphone right now.
Oh, my God. He's still trying to fix it.
Technical difficulties. So it's actually really interesting that you do work closely with law enforcement and teaching them. So I'd like to actually revisit that after our break and maybe let people kind of understand, or listeners understand, like what kind of training, real, actual, tangible training that police officers actually go through, aside from the police academy, aside from what the actual continued education and continued training for the officers includes, but outside of that, when they actually train with black belts like yourself,
I think that's
so important that they do that too, right? We've seen all of these videos that we see online, and I don't want to open up a big conversation here. Excuse me, I don't mean to be rude, but we got to go to the break. But most of the videos that we see online that are just really hard to watch because, a traffic stop goes wrong or whatever it is, a lot of that could have been diffused with some jiu-jitsu, am I right?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And that's been a lot of fun teaching not only the police departments, but I was the head combatives instructor at SOCOM for 10 years, which was an absolute blast because you had to tweak jiu-jitsu differently for those guys for what they needed it for. And now me and Matt are running a bouncing program for bouncers.
Okay, we'll pick it up right there when we get back.
You got it.
In the studio with me right now, Gracie Tampa, legend, Rob Kahn, and of course, Sonny Parlin with me too, black belt down in Bradenton. Bradenton, Gracie, GracieBradenton.com, where's where to go. Sonny Parlin's the man to train with, and Rob Kahn is, I don't know, he's just Rob Kahn. Oh, you know what? Before we go, Rob, I do want to ask you a quick question. We've got to get the real story. You ruined it again. Just turn it off. Just turn it off. Seriously. All right, we're going to break.
Wide Open with the Sarge. Mason does original lyrics about cable news anchors.
Now, what comes to my mind is the Don Henley song.
Double-headed bleach blonde comes on at 5.
I can't hear it. My, so, go in. Now, connection.
I'm just turning that down so that we don't lose the live stream with Facebook hears music.
Oh, this is so much better. Oh my god, it's coming out of both ears now. Man, sorry about being late, man. You cannot believe what the torrential rainstorm was like.
It's fine. Let's go. We're on the air.
Oh, we are, right?
Welcome back. So before the break, we were talking with Rob Kahn here, Sonny Parlin, about working with law enforcement officers with hand-to-hand combat, specifically with jiu-jitsu, one of the finest arts in combat sports, something that came into this world, I think, a little bit too late. Jiu-jitsu should have been in the world hundreds of years ago, because growing up, I thought that taking the Tung Soo Do karate for 7 years was going to get me somewhere. I thought that, you know, at the end of the day, maybe one of the sidekicks is relevant today. But other than that, it's just, you know, karate was sort of a facade. And I don't mean any disrespect to any karate black belts or any people who study karate out there. But at the end of the day, jiu-jitsu is a little bit more real world. It's applicable to almost all real world situations with hand-to-hand combat.
I mean, and it predates all that stuff. I mean, Pancration, Greek Pancration was way before any other type of martial art. And then it just happened to be that kicking and punching looks way better on movies.
That's so right. And it makes more money on pay-per-view, unfortunately.
It became a Bruce Lee movie world for a long time until the Gracies added that realism to it. And people opened up the world's eyes watching this skinny little Brazilian choke everybody out.
If you watch closely at the end of Lethal Weapon, Mel Gibson, the triangle
choke. That's true. Yeah, or Gracie Corrie.
Okay, well then that I can definitely get behind then. You didn't mention Horry Gracie, you mentioned Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson triangled Gary Busey at the end of Lethal Weapon.
Horian was the fight choreographer for number one and number three.
Wow. And then shot him.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Huh.
And he's also been in a couple movies himself, right?
Yes, he's been in a few movies. Yeah. He's been in a lot of TV shows over the years, as always like an extra or a bad guy or something like that. Yeah. And then he had his own movie back in the 90s, like a, you know, it's kind of a B-budget movie, but he was the star of it.
Horry and Gracie.
Yeah.
Was this an American movie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was around 95, 96 when I was out at the...
I could just imagine.
We went to the original screening of it.
I could just imagine cool. How poor quality that movie was.
It was pretty bad.
the budget.
As great an instructor as Orion is, his acting isn't as good as his instruction. We'll say that.
He's a method actor. He's just himself. Well, when you have a guy like Horry and Gracie, you kind of look past the acting and you're just like, wow, I'm watching Horry and Gracie on the silver screen. This is...
Every once in a while, I'll catch a show from like the 70s or 80s and you'll see Horry and on it and it's like, oh my God, there he is.
You know what would have been an awesome bad guy in like a karate movie? Hicks and Gracie.
Yes.
He would have worked that thing in.
Nice stairs.
Wasn't he in the Hulk?
He was. Yeah, he was the yoga instructor in the Hulk.
What are the Gracies working actors? What's going on?
He was the yoga instructor in the movies.
Yeah, and Horry was in a music video.
Yeah, Sepultura.
Sepultura.
My milkshake brings up the blitz.
Yeah. Actually, so is John Burke. John Burke was the bad guy in the Sepultura video.
Oh, really?
That boy's beat up.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Who was their agent? Burke. They're getting more work than most Hollywood actors.
Sepultura was a big heavy metal band back in
from
in
Brazil. The 90s,
from Brazil, and they trained jiu-jitsu.
Was it Portuguese, what they were singing?
No.
I don't think so.
No, it's called Attitude. Yeah. The song's called Attitude.
Not Avatuda?
Not Avatuda. You know, it's like that screaming metal, like that.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
It
no,
is?
No, oh, God, no.
Thank God.
I feel bad for them.
Yeah, no. I remember I was driving with
Leah, can you sing those songs? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. He's driving with Hoyce. We can't cut that story off.
No, I was asking Hoyce if he liked that song, and he's like, no.
He didn't like the song.
You're in the video. Did you like the song?
He didn't like the song or the video. That's classic.
Do you listen to that kind of music, Hoyce?
No.
Hoyce Gracie, man. That's just legendary.
Oh, and Hoyce will be here in January. I think it's January 19th. He'll be in Tampa.
Oh.
Wow.
So,
that's cool. Seminar?
He was here at Gracie North, yeah.
He was like a year ago, right? How was that?
Oh, it was great. We had like 100 people on the mat.
Wow.
It was a blast.
That's incredible, man.
And he promoted great, Rob to third degree.
And now he gets to see the new school, but since then we relocated the North School.
Well, he's got to be proud of you, man, because you didn't just come out here and open Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. You came out here, you actually started a movement, in a sense. He started a movement. You guys really took over this area. From Clearwater Beach to, you know, Lakeland, however you want to spin it, and then from north to south, you guys, you really came out here and started an awesome network. And he has to be...
I need you to email that to Hoyce, because all he does is make fun of me.
Well, it's funny. The last time Hoyce came in, Rob was in the middle of, like, just starting to move the gym. So he's starting to break things down and stuff. And Hoyce was like, where's the picture of my father? And, you know, Rob's like, oh, shit, here we go.
Yeah. Oh, stop. All right. We're going to dump that.
Sorry.
It's okay, because our producers aren't listening at all, so I'll do it.
Sugar. so now I'm sure Hoist will be happy to see that Rob has...
Well, the Hoist has been there like 400 times and always saw the picture. And right. Now, in the middle of a move, the pictures were off the yeah. wall. And he, of course, found the reason to make fun of me.
Yeah.
So, but that's Hoist.
We should start a counter, by the way, for how many times I do that. That's one.
No.
Let's keep it at one, Sonny.
No, let's definitely keep it at one. I only had one dumb button. So I mean, once it's used, that's it.
Oh, really?
That's it. You only get one.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. No, I'm not even joking.
What happens? Like, this place self-destructs?
No, the FCC comes after you.
That, and then also, so the way that you actually dump something is that there's a delay, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? Sure. So once you dump it, the delay is gone. So the system has to build a delay back up, which could take anywhere from 2 to 30 minutes. So for the next, you better be on your toes, son.
I gotta be on my toes. Best behavior.
Yeah.
Best behavior.
Yeah, don't even use that many words in a row. It's too complicated.
I'm taking even money that he's still messing
yeah.
up.
You gotta.
What's the over-under?
Over-under? Oh, shoot, I don't know.
See, you almost did it.
Yeah, but I'm a pro.
Yeah, you are. You are definitely professional.
Wordsmith.
I don't have to worry about these things on my podcast.
Yeah, you know, that is a very good point.
The
that
reason you're... You also don't have to worry about an audience on your podcast.
That is not true.
On contrary, that's the reason why this show is going off the air is
because come on.
Me and Kevin Gallagher.
Wow, it's about 4 minutes earlier than expected.
Is that the end of the show?
No, it's the end of the hour. We still have hour number two coming up.
Oh, okay, good. I was like... We can say that one.
Melissa, no. If you have to ask, just don't say it. How's that? It's a good rule.
I just
right?
want to say, Mark Charles is like Steve Jobs up in here. to his people. He's like, get on it!
If I was Steve
He's
Jobs...
Like the most ruthless
if I was Steve Jobs,
boss I've ever
we wouldn't be 0-3 right now. On one bit.
I want all my music put in here. Get on it!
Exactly. It's not true at all. Diego, I'm not mean, am I? Well, he's like, yeah, whatever. I need a job for now. All right, we're going to take a break. We're back. This is going to be a nice little long break. This is a perfect chance for you to go into Dunkin' Donuts. I know you're parked outside waiting to get your coffee. Go in there, get the coffee, get back in the car. We're back in a few minutes.
Cool.
Whoa. Yeah, wow. See, that. You need to just go to the next thing, because right now there's more bumper music, another song playing.
So what are you going to play for me from...
Nothing now, she ruined it 6 times. Like, legit, that was horrible. I'm just being nice.
What was the discussion part? We were just talking about it.
Hi, everybody.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, what was I saying?
All 12 of you watching.
We're gonna play it.
Oh, yeah.
Happy to have you.
You're just torturing them.
No, dude, no.
Are they interns or are they paid?
No, they work for the radio station.
Because you abuse them pretty harshly.
No, I really don't. Honestly, trust me, man. You have no idea how nice I am.
I
you have no idea how like most people would not be having that at all. So when I call for something, wait for the actual cue. You
know what I mean?
Like if I go like this, 10 minutes can go by. Don't play it until you see me point at you, okay? Thank you.
Hey, Ben Zapata.
It's starting to come down more.
Zappo! So, if Wade and Jeff and Kevin showed up, it would have been the best one of these things don't belong here picture ever.
Oh.
With me in it.
Oh,
with
yeah,
one of these things don't belong in this picture.
We would have a lot of fun with Wade here. Wade is one of the nicest guys on the planet.
That's why I invited him. I've never met him once, and I've just seen stuff that he's done.
Crazy story.
That'd be really cool to have him here, too.
Wade was getting ready to do his first competition in, I don't know, a few years probably. And he came. It was going to be at a Zapatero at my gym. And he came in the door, and all of a sudden his nose started bleeding profusely. Like, for no reason. And, like, it just wouldn't stop. And he ended up having to go to the emergency room. They had to cauterize something inside of his nose to stop the bleeding. It just like something, some kind of a vessel broke.
That's crazy.
And
wow. So Wade had a bloody nose. I can see why your podcast is blowing up.
So it was riveting.
That's what I do. That's how Sonny knows I love him.
Yes, exactly.
That's how he knows you're alive.
Let me say something. I can pull up my phone. I can't pull it up because it's over there. You're lucky my phone's over there, because if I could get to my Google Keep, I have a whole list of stuff I could make fun of you about. I've written them down.
Really?
I've written them down.
So you've been writing down blackmail about me.
Yeah, oh yeah. Things like, you know, like when Rob tells you he'll be there at 7, it means 7 next week. You know, stuff like that.
That's perfect. Well, you can always tell the story about how I burnt you with a high-powered laser.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that one.
I'm going to put mine next to yours.
Go ahead.
So she said, watch out.
This is where it's going to get fuzzy.
The high-powered laser was absolutely hysterical.
I got you. Unless you got me.
I have this, literally, this high-powered laser that...
What's going on here? Laser.
No, this thing is, like, no joke.
Freaking laser.
It'll if I put it on your skin, it'll burn right through your skin.
Boom.
If you put a piece of paper down, I put it on, it would set the paper on fire. So we were out at, we were gun shopping, and Sonny didn't even know I owned this thing. And I started burning him with it. And
like, legitimately, I'm just sitting there in my truck driving, and all of a sudden I feel like what feels like a bee sting on my leg. And so I start like that, you know, like swiping it away, and I'm looking around for like a wasp or something, and I'm like, and Rob's like, what's the matter? And I'm like, dude, something stung me, man. And then nothing, you know, and then, I don't know, about maybe 10 minutes go by, right?
I burn him again.
He does it again. And I'm like, the bee is back. He's like freaking out, you know? All of a sudden I look over, I see him, he's laughing. And I'm like, what are you laughing about? And he shows me the laser. And he's been burning me.
Where the hell did you get a laser like that?
Well, they're technically illegal. Somebody made it for me.
Yeah, no shit. Fucking Dr. Evil over here. Where's my freaking laser?
It's a high power. Now they're more... You actually get your hands on them now, but back then you couldn't.
You know those zappers, hand zappers that you can get?
Oh. You used to take those... Ones? Hey, you remember those things on the barbecue? You know, okay, you know what?
I'm gonna tell that story because I don't screw new members.
Hey, listen, you know on the bar, you know on your barbecue, and if I say this on Facebook Live, I guarantee one of these fucking idiots is gonna go and do this. But listen, not that your followers are idiots, but I just fucked myself. Thank God this is my last show. Kidding. All right, listen, let's change the subject. you know on barbecues, the igniter.
Yes.
You turn the gas on and then you hit that button that ignites.
Click, that thing.
If you take that thing out of your barbecue, that we used to do that back in like middle school.
Oh, it electrocutes you.
Yeah, you take that thing out and then you go up to people and it's basically like a little syringe, but at the end of it is a little shocker.
Oh.
Yeah, I guarantee one of you guys is bringing that bitch to the fucking to the jiu-jitsu
school. I used to hide in my office with the laser while people were rolling, and I'd aim the laser out of my office.
So messed up.
While people were rolling.
Ow! That's so fucked. That's messed up.
Sadistic is what it is. Crazy.
Yeah, let's not tell that story. We'll tell this story. Like, when I burned you in the car.
I mean, it's okay. It's what I'm here
for, guys. We're good.
That's great.
And then we used to find... So, Monster... You don't know Monster. Yeah, have you ever heard of the legendary Monster Lobster?
Yes.
Monster was, you know, he's still one of my closest friends, but he used to bust my chops incessantly. So me and Hoist had this deal with Taser. So they gave...
I have a Taser in my car.
They gave me Hoist the X11 Tasers.
Diego, I need you to go get my Taser from my car.
No, let's not do that. Because Rob will use it.
Yeah, I would. Just to push stuff, but no, only the Sonny, not to the So I set it up right. My door is the front door of the old Gracie Temple was metal. They gave me alligator clips with it, so I clipped it to the door and I just sat by the door waiting for Monster to show up. As soon as he grabbed it, I hit the Taser. I thought it would electrocute him. The Taser blew up in my hand. It literally went on fire and blew up in my hand. I shorted the thing out and went poof, and smoke came out of it. I'm like, it was an $1,100 free Taser down the drain.
That sucks.
It was one of the police ones, not the C2. It was the X11. You know, the ones that look like a gun.
Dude, I remember an M80 blowing up in my hand when I was a kid.
Was your hand open or closed? Because I think it was closed.
No. We were at the window. We were at my buddy's window in his room, and we were going to light it. And it was one of those fuck. It was like which is one of those thick, it was a thick little son of a bitch. And, okay, no, sorry, it was in his hand. It was so long ago. It was in his hand. It blew out my ear. And he goes, like, he goes to do it, and then he goes to throw it out, and it blew up, like, as he's, through, like, as it's leaving his hand, it blew up. So it was, like, borderline.
Yeah.
Like, his hand hurt, but it didn't fuck him up. But I just remember the first time I ever was like, whoa, so this is what it's like if, like, you're near, like, a bomb or a blast. Because I hear ringing, and I was, like, and it took about, like, 60 seconds for my hearing to slowly come back. It was crazy. It's a very weird feeling. It was a very, very weird feeling. Thanks for staring at me all. I kind of like the eye contact.
Giving you the Ryan Gosling.
The Ryan Gosling, yeah, okay. I don't know who told you that. I don't know Benjamin's about it. Yeah, these commercials are too long. And dude, that podcast thing that you mentioned, that's a good point. Like, you can literally say anything. Like, there's nobody.
Yeah, no, podcasts are the way. Definitely the way of the future.
Like, of course it is.
Radio's gone. Like,
of course it is.
It's gone.
Well, it's not that it's gone. Especially now. It's as gone as it's ever going to be. Here's the thing. You have to remember, radio is always going to be that hub in the community where businesses and all these things can. People are always going to have listen to radio. It's just that music on radio, that will slowly have to evolve, or it'll. Who knows what will happen to it. But unique programming, sports radio, talk shows. There's certain things that you can't replace with an iPod. You can't replace with your, download.
And well, you can still do call-ins with an iPod.
Right. Podcasts are the way of the future. I'm not disagreeing. But at the end of the day, your local people want something in their market that's local. They're not going to be like, oh, we don't want radio. You don't hear the consumers and drivers. Oh, by the way, let me show you a piece of evidence that tells you that it's not dying, and I'll show it to you. It's right on the Nielsen website. Nielsen's the people who actually do the ratings. 93% of us Americans use radio to consume media, which tops TV and digital.
That's crazy. I have
so
radio.
It's 100% still viable. Like. We still have clients who spend $50,000 a month. Like, it's not
really
dead. 100%. Dude, it's not dead, bro. I'm telling you. Radio, it's just, radio has to evolve more for it to be able to stay as relevant. But if there's going to be radio stations who don't evolve, and they will die.
In 1992, you would have said, Blockbuster Video is not going anywhere. People are always
but they movies. But Blockbuster Video, the difference between Blockbuster Video and radio is the difference. Netflix came to Blockbuster and said, hey, we want you to buy Netflix for this, X million dollars. And they laughed and said, yeah, fucking right. They made a mistake. They had a chance. Blockbuster could have owned Netflix. They made it. But radio is not laughing and saying, he's not laughing and saying, oh, digital, that's a joke. That'll never happen. The radio's scrambling on, oh, okay, yeah, we need to evolve. So we're trying to evolve.
Yeah.
We're not laughing and saying, yeah, right. Then we would die. But we are evolving. So.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like with the FCC and the dump button and all that stuff,
right.
All that stuff's not on podcasting. You have to worry about it. And people like it. It's more, you don't have to worry
absolutely,
about
I agree.
Cutting the commercials at this time or doing whatever. You do what you want.
Off camera, I'll explain a little bit more of what keeps me here and not just going off into what.
So where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere.
We have
a new talk show that's going to be starting. It's going to be a lot like some of your, energetic and fun morning shows. It'll be a lot like that for some of them.
Okay. Yeah. Just not MMA specific anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. Just not MMA specific. But we will still have MMA sponsors. We'll still do MMA stuff. I'm still going to be, announcing at MMA fights. I still love MMA. I didn't invite you guys here to say goodbye to you. You know what I mean?
I thought you were leaving to do a podcast.
Get out of here.
You mean I came through a monsoon for not your last show?
For well, technically, we have one more hour after this. But, I mean, I was telling Sonny earlier that this show started off as a pilot because the UFC called my boss and said, hey, you got anyone that would be interested in interviewing Dana White? And I got lucky that my boss was in tune with what I like enough to know. He called me and nobody else and was like, hey, I got a email, I'm about to delete it unless you want it. And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. And then I was like, hey, you know what? On top of that, let me get an extra hour. I want to do an MMA show and all this and all, and it just kind of took a life of its own. It was supposed to be a pilot. Like, the name, the MMA talk show, was the working title of what I was going to try to do. Mm. It just, you know, it just went on and I enjoyed it. But at the end of the day, I consider radio to be like a journey. And as I go on, I think what's going to keep me fresh and wanting to continue doing what I do is to apply different things to radio as I progress and not to just stick to the same thing. All right, we got to do a radio show. Let's go. Oh, okay. I had no idea we were live. Nobody told me anything. All right, so we're back with the MMA Talk Show. This is the second hour of the two-hour special. In the studio with me right now, Rob Kahn from Gracie Tampa, Sonny Parlin from Gracie Bradenton. They are here representing the Gracie Movement in Florida, and we were supposed to have Wade Rohn here. We were supposed to have... I have a monologue, Leo, so if you could turn off the mics except for mine, I want to say my monologue. You guys are looking at me all funny. Well, she turned my mic off too, of course. Of course. All right, Leah, you went from number one to number two. Okay. Okay, give me the middle finger after you've done something right. Actually accomplish something before you give me the middle finger. All right, so are we here? Can you see this? Yes. So I invited Rob Kahn here today because... Rob is one of the first black belts under Hoist Gracie. I invited Sonny here because he makes me look good when he's sitting next to me. I've just, you know, hotornot.com no longer feeds me the confidence I need, so I just bring Sonny in. I don't know if people on the listening to the radio realize I'm poking at a black belt who could literally strangle me with his left finger right now.
Yeah,
with no problem.
But then they would kick me out.
You wouldn't get kicked out. You'd probably get a promotion knowing the people I work with. They'd be like, oh, you choked Mark out?
I'm pretty sure.
You want a job?
Your underlings would cheer.
Well, with you calling them underlings at this point, yes, they probably would cheer.
I'm sorry. I don't know what you guys are called. Engineers? Are you engineers?
Well, let's ask them. Turn your mics on, guys.
Your engineers.
Let's see if they can pull something up.
Producers.
Just give them a few minutes. They're like, ooh, give them a few minutes.
We get to talk.
She doesn't even know. Diego, what's your job title? No, it's not up. She doesn't have your mic on.
Oh, okay. All right. So, producers. So, would you guys like me to choke him out?
Oh, no. Hey, Leah. Do your job.
Let's take a vote.
What? Say something.
She's like, I don't know what to do.
She's not going to be happy with this. You don't understand the beatings I get after the show on Sunday.
I'm not picking on you, by
the way. The 11 o'clock hour for me on Sunday is very painful. Oh, I forgot about that. There is actually the roast of Mark Charles next week.
Oh, can we?
Oh, now that you've messed up your job six times today, you're all upset, aren't you?
You guys should have hired him.
Oh, man.
All right. So I want to finish the monologue that I was starting. Not yet, Leah. Can we hold on? All right, let's get these mics off because I want to just. Oh, she always turns my mic off every time. Rob Kahn, I have a question for you.
Can you just turn my mic off?
Let's try this again. Rob, tell me about the story about how you met Kevin Gallagher.
I was in college in 1994, and I didn't think much of the match, which quickly turned into a sparring match. You know, when we get to the mount, I create pressure right away. I get cold in the chin, create pressure on the head to make them defend their neck. You pull upside down, guard in the street fight, you're gonna get killed, which quickly turned into me getting my ass kicked. And choked and armbarred over and over and over again. That guy's sick. Just sick. Then we became pretty good friends. You know, he says I'm the one who gave it to him, but he's lying.
All right. That's the story. Turn Rob's mic on. He doesn't look happy.
Well, no, that's a true story, except that it was not Kevin Gallagher. It was John Burke.
That was the most confusing thing I've ever heard in my life, because I was like, when is Kevin going to talk?
Oh, no, Kevin? Yeah, Kevin has something to say, too. Kevin talks about his wins. I was asking Kevin the other day a little bit about his wins.
Yeah, but that wasn't Kevin Gallagher that story was about. It was about John Burke.
I write this story, not you.
Yeah. This is how the media controls the narrative.
It was like 15 Dude, years. So it was like right. 15 years later. I met Kevin Gallagher.
It's funny. I did. I caught up with Kevin. He explained a little bit about his accolades and some of the stuff that he's won over the course of the last year or so. Here's Kevin.
That's every time Kevin there walks into a room. Every time I see Kevin, that's how he introduces himself.
That statement comes always follows, "Hi, I'm Kevin Gallagher."
Kevin has style, though. I asked him about his hair, and here's what he had to say.
Oh my god, where did you get this stuff? This is great.
What stuff? Actually, Diego dug all this stuff up.
This is fantastic.
He's my scapegoat.
Diego. I'm just gonna rock that look for a while.
I'm gonna throw it in ponytail.
That's the goal, man.
His surfer voice makes it. It's in the delivery.
Oh yeah.
So who does Kevin Gallagher remind you most of, Sonny? Oh, okay.
I would say Captain Caveman.
Actually, he reminds me of Clay Guida when he had hair.
Interesting.
Kevin had long hair,
I see it.
He looked like Clay Guida.
Kevin with long hair, man. He's already like a beast, like caveman-like.
Yeah.
I would hate to compete against him, especially if he had that long hair. You would just be like, I'm really going against a caveman right now. And then he walks into the mat, on the mat, going like this. And I'm like, okay, so he is going to kill somebody. It's pretty incredible. He's very much a fierce competitor, to steal his own words.
Yeah, his warm-up philosophy is very, you know, caveman-like.
Caveman.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, very gorilla. Everybody has their own thing, man. Some people like quiet. Some people like to listen to music. Some people like to do jumping jacks.
What do you do? You write code or something before?
Yeah, I get on the computer.
Start writing code.
Update my
a little binary workout.
No, I just jump up and down, warm up a little bit. You know.
You know, I noticed. I was joking when I was saying, "Oh, you know, you started that podcast, and that's why you stole all my ratings." But really, I come to find out, you've been doing podcasting for a few years.
Yeah,
been
but
doing
it's,
it for a while.
It's just been nothing consistent.
Right, but that's okay. That's how most of everything that we do is anyway.
Yeah, but if you accumulate all of it, yeah, it's been a few of them.
That's cool, though. I mean,
we've Rob on a bunch of times. Whenever we do a podcast, we're like, how do we get this thing going? I know, we get Rob on.
Oh, right.
Rob comes on and tells the same stories that we all love. And
back in my day?
Yeah.
Those stories.
Rob has some excellent My Day stories.
Well, there's a bunch of clowns out there like myself who start these MMA shows and start talking about it. It'd be nice if more black belts had MMA shows, you know. It's more credible.
No.
It's like judging. Like, why can't we have black belts in MMA or jiu-jitsu judge? Why do we have people who don't even know half of what boxing, you know, the half of the boxing rule set is judging MMA? It's
because of the old boy network of these commissions.
That's right. The good old boy network. That's right.
And it's—I believe it or not—it's gotten better. It was way worse a decade ago. I mean, you had guys who had never even saw a guard before judging MMA fights.
And people wonder why the UFC doesn't come to Florida when there's 22 million people who live in the state, which makes it an incredibly large market. And it's because why would the UFC go where? I hate to say this, but where the commission is just kind of Mickey Mouse, no pun intended. It's not that the Las Vegas that level of, you know, competence.
And Florida went from, you know, a decade ago to probably, I think it was your first or second in the amount of professional shows to now they barely have, what, 2-3 a year?
What's up with that?
It used to be, too, also, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but back in the day, there was no amateur.
There was no amateur MMA.
Yeah, if you wanted to fight MMA, you had to go straight to pro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that fight went number one.
But actually, I found that easier.
Really?
Because it was easier to scout the opponents, you know.
No, okay.
The whole MMA community was so much smaller. It was just, it was much easier to get background information. With the amateurs, people could hide in the amateurs for a lot longer, and there's no real record keeping.
What's interesting to me is that they have a minimum number of fights you have to have before you can go pro, but they don't have a maximum.
Yeah.
That's weird to me. You would think, like, after 10 amateur fights, like, you have to go pro now.
Well, you would, but again, it comes from boxing, because you have guys, you know, on the, you know, the local level, and then you get to the national level, international level. You know, when you're talking about guys who are trying to go to the Olympics in boxing, they'll have 200-300 amateur fights under their belt.
Mm.
So, now MMA doesn't have that venue, but they followed the same, you know, same blueprint.
Well, I mean, it's crazy, too, because a lot of young guys think that this is a path to make a lot of money. And at the upper tiers, of course it is, but...
If you want to make money, go to pro wrestling. Go to the WWE, because the lowest tier guys there are making, you know, $60,000 a year, $70,000, whatever it is. And that's let me try to make a point here. A lot of people who are athletes get to a certain point at their, you know, a certain age or point in their life where they're like, okay, I'm an athlete, but how do I actually make a career out of this? I'm not going to play football. I'm not going to play in a major sport, whatever. Where do I go? And it seems that, like the WWE seems to be a landing place for people who are athletic but don't have a clear direction in life for a career.
Well, I think it's more, between MMA and boxing. As athletic as you might be, if you're 160 pounds, what sport's going to take you? You're just too small to play in any of the professional leagues.
And then the UFC, the margin of success is just so thin. Like, how many people are actually successful who go into MMA, as opposed to how many, compared to how many people are in MMA? We have thousands of people in the country, but you probably have, a couple hundred people who have made six figures.
Oh yeah,
It's very, very small. Yeah,
total sliver. And then with the whole Reebok deal, they really
cut it
way, way lower than that.
They really screwed that up. But who knows what's going to happen with that? I hope Reebok goes away, or at the very least, creates a new deal so that the fighters can make. I don't want to get too much into that, but yeah, Reebok, that deal totally ruined the income, because you'd have a guy who'd make $10,000 or $12,000 fighting, but he's making $100,000 wearing a T-shirt. Or holding a banner up, and that's where they really made it up.
Now, what are your thoughts on, like, say, Gary Tonin, who's fighting right now for ONE FC? It seems like he's comfortable there. He's happy. They're giving him good money. Why would he go to the UFC?
Yeah, I agree. Well, the same thing with Ben Askren. Originally, he got offered a lot more money to fight out there.
Right.
Oh, speaking of that, Diego, if you can find out if there's any leaks yet or rumors, December 29th, the UFC last night kept on putting this cryptic message, like an ad that kept saying December 29th, and they would pan over a championship belt. So I don't know if it's the John Jones fight or what's going on. Is it John Jones, Alex? Yeah, I think that's it.
I have heard a pretty reliable rumor about a big fight coming up in the UFC.
Is it a new weight class or?
No. Well, no, it's not a new weight class.
Well, you don't have to give up your source.
George St. Pierre against Khabib at 55.
Well, I don't buy it, because Dana White made it very clear this week during media week, because he was asked about not exactly that, but about GSP, and he said he would never let GSP go down to 155 because, he said against who?
Khabib.
For the belt? Because he's worried that he's going to come and do the same thing he did with the middleweight title, win the belt, and then just give it up and then go away. He doesn't want to do that again. He said
he said that for the middleweight belt.
He also said that about everything.
That he wasn't going to let George come in and fight for the middleweight belt, and we still have that worked out.
Dana White also said that women would never fight in the UFC.
Dana White said a lot of stuff, man, just in the last 2 weeks that's just ridiculous.
Think about the numbers GSP, Khabib would bring in.
It's huge. Where do they do it?
I would assume it would have to be Vegas for that type of money.
So who does
Khabib... They're not doing it in Dagestan.
Who does Khabib fight in Russia, in Moscow? A big UFC card in Moscow. Because the UFC's now... They've gone to UFC... the UFC's gone to Russia now. And they did exactly kind of what I thought they'd do. They'd go there, they'd put on a very light card. They wouldn't put any of their big stars there. Just a low risk to see how it works. I think now that they've done a show in Russia, I think it would be silly for them to go back to Moscow and not have a big star like Khabib. So who would Khabib fight in Russia? What would make sense?
I think that would still be... you go where the money is. Most of these places, you have to pay for the venue. except Vegas. Vegas pays you to bring your fight to the venue. So they get, you know, like a $12 million site fee.
Right.
UFC gets paid $12, $20 million just for them to show, to have the fight, the honor of having a fight. You go there, you have to rent a place. And then you got to talk about who in Dagestan or in Moscow has $5,000 for a third row seat.
Well, hold on. They're not going to go to
Dagestan. Is a real place?
Yes, yeah. Dagestan is a province of Russia.
Is it really?
100%.
I'm surprised you know that.
What? Why wouldn't you think it's a real place? They've been saying he's from Dagestan forever.
I don't know.
Sonny doesn't follow MMA.
Because he's right. I don't follow MMA. Although, I do have an answer to your question. Who could he fight in Russia? He could go against Fedor.
He doesn't follow MMA at all. Okay.
Fedor would never have to drop a little weight, but it would be a good fight, you know?
Right.
Same age bracket.
We're going to take a break on that note. We are going to break, though. Great conversation here with Sonny Perlin and Rob Kahn, helping me say farewell to the MMA Talk Show. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back.
Host of Outside Interference Wrestling Radio. We've been on the air for 3 years now.
You're going to need it to get back in, but go. It's right out that door over there. Just around the corner of the left. You can't miss it.
Florida team versus New York. That's cool. I like that idea. So who do we send for food? Who are those people? who are the Dunkin' Donuts runners?
Well, we're done in like 25 minutes. So by the time they get back, it'd be kind of... Young and sophisticated. I just pissed off our entire listening audience by saying for our young and sophisticated crowd. Because I don't know how many people
seconds
are actually young
before you get back on air.
Sounds like it's
thank you
for retirement for George St. Pierre.
Since he didn't hear me last time.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's Khabib or retirement for George St. Pierre. Says Ariel Helwani.
Who's he?
He's like...
I'm joking. I was supposed to have him on the show today.
Really?
Yeah, just as our last guest analyst, but he's in the air flying right now, so it didn't work out. Yeah, because I've had all of his colleagues on our show for guest analysts, and he introduced me to all of them when he was in Tampa. It's a long story. But it was kind of like, hey, might as well have the biggest journalist in the game. I'm tired today.
Are you?
Yeah, I couldn't wait to come home after work today. I was like, I can't wait to get back home. All right, Sonny Parlin. Trivia.
I love trivia.
What soundtrack is this from? What movie was this most popularly played in?
Ooh.
Trick question. It's not Living in America from Rocky.
Ooh.
Trick question. Oh. I was hoping you'd say Rocky and be like, nope.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think this is a... I can't remember a movie that this song has been in.
Rock Con's back. Hey, Rob, I got a question.
What?
That's me a question.
And this is very risky, even bringing this up, Raskin. But I know you actually, you hang out at the Bubba the Love Sponge show once in a while.
Yes, I do. Bubba's a very good friend of mine. I actually just fought somebody on the air last week.
You did or he did?
I did.
You actually fought somebody, like a jiu-jitsu fight?
Yes. He's Manson's son. said he was going to rip my head off.
yeah.
So right. Bubba bet him a boat engine.
Wow.
I forget the exact details, but if he lasted 2 minutes, he got something.
Okay.
He got to start with hooks in, and the choke locked in on my neck. And,
that's pretty funny.
If he did choke me, he got a boat engine. If he lasted 2 minutes, he got something.
How did it go down? What's end with that?
It ended in the first one ended in 16 seconds from the time I cleared the choke to the time I armbarred him, and then
that's
he screamed.
Funny.
So I let him go, and he claimed since he didn't tap, he didn't actually lose,
oh,
and he wanted
my.
The boat engine, which annoyed me quite a bit.
Because he had a case.
No, he didn't have
I
a
mean,
case.
Hey, is it...
No, because a
oh,
verbal...
Yes, he's
a
right.
Scream is
yes.
A verbal
scream.
Tap.
That's right.
A verbal tap.
That's right. And a referee would stop if a man screams.
Especially if you heard the scream that he let out. And so
alleged man.
We started again. This time he didn't get a chance to start on my back with the choke locked in, so the match was over a lot faster than 16 seconds.
Wow, so they could have chosen anything in the world to try to win an injury. They tried to...
Well, apparently he won a few Tough Man contests, and they got into a discussion, and my name got thrown around, and he said that he would rip my head off.
Okay.
And Bubba, being Bubba, immediately called me and said, could you come in this morning, or tomorrow morning, and have a match with Manson's son.
Okay.
So what do they have, a space in the studio to do that?
Well, let's talk about our space in our studio. How's that sound? I told you bringing up Bubba would be very risky.
I'm just like wondering, is there like a little area like this you're fighting?
Bubba's got a gigantic studio, and...
well, okay, cool.
But they had a big crisp.
Awesome.
Hey, you asked me the question.
Don't get Studio Envy.
Studio Envy? How about Facebook Live Envy? I have 2 viewers, you have 10. What is this?
I can't believe I only have 10. You know why? Because people are sleeping right now, as they should be.
You had like 18 earlier.
What was the original question that you were asking somebody?
No, you answered it. You answered it. I just want to know what's going on over at Bubba.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
I mean, it was great.
Oh, cool. I'm glad he's still, I always like Bubba. I'm glad he's still kicking.
I got to train with Bubba once. That was fun.
All right,
he's
cool.
A nice guy.
I got to train with Sonny Parlin once. Not.
You should come down to the gym.
I should.
I'll beat you up for free.
You do that for me?
I would.
That's very sweet of you, man. I knew you were a nice guy.
Rob would do the same.
Rob has offered, actually. And that's one thing I totally regret. Sure. It's not taking you guys up on it. It's another story that I'm battling with.
Oh, but you wanted to talk about police training.
I did.
Off. Yeah.
That's the story of my life. I forget. And then
that's all right. I'm here to keep you on track.
Thank you. Because those two producers over there, no need.
I have a great story. Like Rob took me along when he went to teach at.
This is, by the way, this is the millennials of the day. When they do something wrong and then you're kind of a little bit frustrated with it, they give you the look as though you're the evil person that is completely like. Off. Like, that's millennial.
I mean, if you
that's,
were my boss,
that's what happens
I would
to
have
it.
Quit by now, but anyway. Okay. So, Rob brought me to...
Don't let the door hit you on the way.
Wait, was this when we did the role play stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
This was amazing. So, we went to Temple Terrace Police Department and to do some training, which included doing some role play, like, what do you call it, resisting arrest. And then also we did, like, the active shooter training, where we got to be active shooters. Helping with little BB guns or whatever. But it was funny because the instructor guy was really, he was really funny. He was really animated and had like a New York accent. And, he was just very animated and telling us what to do. He's like, all right, this guy, he's got a little bit of an ego. So you guys go ahead, take care of him.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
Remember he was like that?
The whole scenario was they would, they tell us the scenario. It's like you and Sonny are arguing, cop comes up. Ask for your ID, you give him a little bit of an argument, but you do what he says.
I didn't do nothing wrong. Yeah. Why I gotta give you my ID for?
So they never knew if we were gonna resist, not resist, verbally say something to him. Sometimes they would tell us just to insult the cop but not physically touch them.
Right.
And then every once in a while they'd be like, all right, all bets are off.
Rob's favorite part.
All bets are off. This guy tries to arrest you, beat him up. And
my favorite one.
Get to beat up the cops. It was fun.
Wow.
My favorite one.
But hold on. Time out. Let's retract that statement and make sure people understand that.
In a constructive teaching manner.
Controlled environment.
Yes. Not beating up police officers.
Don't even go down there.
Of course.
My father's a police officer.
We are more.
So even if you're a black belt, it's not going to end well for you.
Rob and I are more pro police than probably the rest of Florida combined. But anyway. So we go down there, and I remember the, combined.
Right.
I remember the sergeant telling me,
22 million people.
Here's your directions. He's like, I want you to comply with this guy, and then at some point during the arrest, I want you to resist. So I waited till I was all the way down on my belly with one cuff on, with one hand behind my back, and I decided to resist. So I turned over, swept the guy past his guard, him, and got on top, and just looked at the sergeant, and the guy was yelling, get off of me, get off of me. He tried to punch me. I just put my knee over his arm. He couldn't punch me. Looking at the sergeant like, what do you want me to do next? And he's just like, just hold him there.
Oh, no.
Just made him wait. Matt Arroyo was arm-barring people like left and right.
But that's the humbleness that I think, and I don't want to speak like I know what it's like to be a cop, but I think that humbleness is very important when going out to the real world and understanding, how vulnerable you really are and what you can actually do and help me elaborate on that, because
Well, I'll tell you what, the cops that I've trained personally at my gym, like, 100% feel way more confident now than they did when they first started. I mean, 100%. So,
or at least more realistic. They have realistic expectations of themselves.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's so close to being exactly what they're going to deal with in the street that it also allows them to bring down their relaxation level. So you're not worried about, you know, the anxiety issue and, you know, going into the Olympic system and not being able to respond properly. Like, proper training allows you to stay calm, focused, and handle whatever the situation is rationally.
What's the key to reacting the proper way and not letting emotion or, you know, the wrong instinct take over, or grabbing that, you know, the worst case scenario, a fatal response with a gun or what have you? What's the key? Is it repetition of having that exact same response when something happens? Is it repetition?
Well, I can get really boring with this answer, but it's all about,
situational awareness and
no,
confidence.
Freezing down there, but there's
it's okay. Think of it.
Myelination of the nerves.
Yes,
it's all about nerve myelination. So,
which is what? Just briefly, what is myelination?
So every time you learn a physical activity, whatever that is, right? The best way to describe that is your brain runs a wire from one end to the other, but it's an uninsulated wire, so it leaks electricity. It's not as efficient. The more you do it, the more you practice it under real situations, your body puts something called myelin on it, which is basically like rubber, which allows for, you know, a more efficient transfer of energy. It allows for your refractory time to be cut dramatically down. And it also allows for you to be much more calm in a situation that would normally send you into the limbic system, the fight or flight system.
Mm-hmm. Right, which is what I was alluding to.
Yeah, the fight or flight, humans have now figured out a way to be more effective than what nature gave us, the fight or flight system. But the problem is you can only be in one or the other. If you fall into the limbic system, which I've had fighters come back, and I took this amazing course by Eric Parker called Wintensity. I highly recommend it for anybody who's listening, which teaches about how to fight under pressure. And, you know, you're either in the limbic system or you're in the cortex. When you're in the cortex, you can think rationally. And, you know, your coordination's, you know, perfect. All that stuff is working. Once you go into the limbic system, you lose coordination. You lose the ability to think rationally. You get tunnel visioned, all that stuff.
Which is a lot of the time what we see, like, in the UFC when a guy throws his game plan out the window and just starts doing something way off, or throwing haymakers. Is that
relatable? This is going to sound 100% relatable. This is going to sound crazy. But through that course, through Eric, I don't want to take credit for it because this is all Eric. When you see your fighter coming back to the, you know, to the corner, and you could see that he's now gone. He's in the limbic system, and he's not responding. One of the best things you can do is start asking him easy math questions to make him start thinking again.
Mm-hmm.
So
logically,
they literally will look at you sometimes when they're so far gone. You'll be like, "What's 2 + 2?" And they will look at you. They can't give you the answer because they're so far into the limbic system. Mm-hmm. They can't process it. You'll ask them again, and finally something kicks in, and they're like, "4." And okay, what's 4 + 4? 8. Okay, good. Now I know I got them back. And then we start talking about instruction. Mm-hmm. You know, once I know I got them back into the cortex.
That's interesting.
The stuff that Rob is talking about is specific to that, I think, the Wintensity, but the core concepts that he's talking about is actually, I know about them too, just because of a book that Rob recommended to me called The Talent Code.
Yeah.
And
phenomenal.
Yeah. It talks.
You said The Talent Code?
The Talent Code,
yeah. And it talks all about, like, these the brain, really, and how these myelination works and how deep learning works and how, you know, like, some people can go, like, for instance, they talk about the soccer players in Brazil being better than everybody, and it's for a reason. And it's the way they learned how to play versus the rest of the world.
And it was by accident. In the 60s, Brazil was a laughingstock at soccer. And because it's, you know, it was a poor country, they started what they call, or loosely translated, like a city soccer league. So they shrank the field down dramatically. So now, instead of that, I don't play soccer, but let's say
in a soccer game,
there might be 10 times or 15 times in a soccer game where I might have to ball handle and pass you or pass it to Sonny, but I'm doing all this ball handling and dribbling type thing. Maybe it happens 10, 20 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in city soccer in Brazil, shrinking the field down 10 or 20, it went to 50,
that.
50 or 70.
Right.
And immediately, within a few years, Brazil started becoming a powerhouse in soccer because
so
they started myelinating the nerves.
You know, that is so interesting that you say that, because one of the biggest differences in soccer between your European teams mostly, not to make this racial, it's not, it's just a regional thing, but more the Western white European soccer compared to your South American soccer. Is South Americans, from end to end, they dribble the ball up the court, or up the pitch. They dribble it all the way up, whereas most Western European soccer, they actually kick the ball, halfway across the field or the pitch, to cover more ground quickly. So obviously there's pros and cons to both, but
I think
what you're saying has everything to do with that. And now you've actually answered a lifelong question for me. I've always wondered, why do the South Americans tend to dribble the ball up the pitch more? I've noticed this over time. It's just something I've always noticed. And I think you just answered that for me.
And one of the coolest parts about that story is one of the first guys to come out of the City Soccer League, Pele.
Legend.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't know who Pele is, then you probably don't know what the Brady Bunch is either, right? Like, if you remember who Pele is, the Pele kid.
He was one of the first graduates of that program whenever they started it.
Yeah, and I think he's probably like the first person who was just famous for having that kind of ball handling and that slick, new, it was kind of revolutionary. It's a lot like hockey and stuff too, like hockey or football or whatever. You look at it. You look at them competing decades ago. It looked so much more different, and people weren't as elusive. People weren't as slick with stuff.
Well, we were just talking about this the other day.
We have to break, though. Can we?
Yeah, please.
But you're gonna remember it, though.
I'll try to remember.
All right, remember. We'll take a quick break. We're gonna go to break now, so we don't forget. Go ahead.
50-50.
Hey Diego, can you come here for 1 second, please?
I hope would be absolutely fantastic if possible.
What's up, peoples? Hope you're enjoying the show.
Diego, can you please grab my Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you want to drink?
Oh, is there coffee here?
Yeah, did you make it?
Coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, I would.
Do you want a sugar cream?
Yes, I'll bow to you.
Thanks, Diego.
I just bowed to you. Pre-bow.
Appreciate it, Diego.
In fact, back to that nomination thing. There's the book is phenomenal. You would love it.
Yeah. I'm reading it now.
There's a golf course and a tennis court in, I believe it's South Korea. And I'm not exactly sure what they did with their training methods, but somehow, almost by accident, they found a way to take the amount of training time and get more myelination per hour than any place else, right?
Which is what the soccer team was doing, in essence.
Which they did by accident, exactly. So instead of having 50 or 20 ball handling moments a game, you're getting 120.
Right, right.
So the myelination happened that much quicker. There's a tennis court and a golf course.
Now I wonder if that can be translated to another sport.
100%, and that's what this whole book is about. It's talking about the process of myelination and different ways to increase it in the same amount of time. Yeah.
Wow. And what's it called? Wintensity?
No, Wintensity is about fighting under pressure. So this book is called The Talent Code, which is about myelination
losses. Write those down real quick.
But anyway, this tennis court and this golf course, they've produced more women's pro golfers and pro tennis players than the entire United States when they came up with this. Than the entire United States.
Talent Code.
I'll give you three great books. Talent Code.
The Art of Intensity. Learning.
The Art of Learning.
The Art of War.
Here, start the show, go.
Hey everyone, we're back. This is not Mark Charles.
Well, that's why you do a podcast. Welcome back to the 2-hour special of the MMA Talk Show. Not a fancy show. We didn't, it's just 2 hours long, really. I think that's pretty much the extent of, well, why is it so special? Because it's double the time. It's 2 hours. So now it's special.
Now it's a special.
So three books. Let's actually recommend them for the listeners, too. One is The Talent Code.
Yes.
Another is Wintensity. Mic number three, please. One is The Talent Code. One is Wintensity. And the third is?
Actually, the Wintensity is a program by Eric Parker. It's not an actual book. The three books that he's talking about is The Talent Code, The Art of Learning, and The Art of War. The Art of Learning.
The Art of War is
Everyone.
By Sun Tzu. The Art of Learning is by Josh Waitzkin, and The Talent Code, I can't remember the author.
Yeah, I don't remember the guy's name.
Did you say Art of Learning?
The Art of Learning by Josh Waitzkin.
There's actually one other book.
He's also, I think, a black belt in jiu-jitsu, right?
Yes, now he is. When he wrote the book, he wasn't.
Right, but
now he is under Marcelo. Under Marcelo Garcia. But the guy was a world champion chess guy.
He was the guy that the movie Finding Bobby Fischer was about.
Bobby Fischer?
Or, yeah.
Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Yeah. All right, before the break, we were talking a little bit about, I was going to call it Milestone.
Myelination of the Nerves.
Myelination of the Nerves, which is what helps people, I'm going to butcher this, but let me try anyway, because I want to learn. What happens in the brain over the course of training and repetition of something to, you know, help somebody have a certain reaction or to whatever. I really am butchering.
I don't know. I think the layman's terms way to explain it the best way is like when something goes from something you have to think about to do
right.
to something
right.
that becomes automatic.
Right. That's what I tell all the people that I train with, you know, like a board operating or anything, is that you'll know the difference, and you'll know you're kind of getting there, quote unquote, getting there, when you're not thinking and you're just doing.
Yeah, like a good guitar player could just pick up a guitar and start riffing and playing a scale,
and not looking at the chord and saying D E E D, but actually just
right. Whereas somebody who doesn't play guitar would pick it up and have no coordination; they wouldn't know anything.
Now we don't want to obviously mention any names or even agencies, but any you kind of did mention it though a little bit. You said that one of the people who were the heads of whatever part of that department or whoever it might have been told you, hey, this guy kind of has an ego. Go ahead and kind of give it to him. Any stories that may not be as tongue-in-cheek or as funny, where maybe there was an officer whose ego they just weren't able to set the ego aside, and it got in the way of the training or anything like that?
That's happened a bunch of times over the years.
Yeah, so it does happen.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes you'll have, I had a guy at one of the training, it was a police training, who didn't reveal that he had been training in jiu-jitsu for years.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Yeah, I like that.
And at the end of the class, I was sparring with the guys. There was like 30 guys, and he purposely just sat out and waited for me to go through 30 guys of rolling.
Oh, boy. And let you wear yourself out a little
then
bit.
Then he jumped in, and all of a sudden, I see him start like working certain guard passes and stuff. And I'm like,
wait a minute. All right. you knew right away what he's doing
immediately,
because it's not natural to know the exact
you can tell within seconds that this
can I just say
like a purple belt level.
Public service announcement,
PSA:
if you know jiu-jitsu or know how to grapple in any way, and you come into a jiu-jitsu gym and you tell them that you don't know how to grapple,
man, that's a bad move.
And then you grapple us, bro,
you're gonna get hurt.
We know immediately if you have experience. We can tell in the first 10 seconds, less than that, we can tell.
Yeah.
So don't try.
So he was appropriately beaten up for withholding information.
Withholding information.
I think that was the charge. I think that was pretty shady.
Yeah. Oh yeah, of course.
So
that's fine.
I didn't lose any sleep that night.
But there has to be some guys who don't know jiu-jitsu, have never done jiu-jitsu, that are impressive. They learn quickly, and then
sure.
you're like
naturally talented people. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm talking specifically like law enforcement officers. You ever have those? Well, obviously, I'm sure you do. But what are those little turning points, or turning a corner with someone who's training, and then you see it physically, you see it mentally, you see it in their eyes that they finally just it took a while, but they just got it, and now that they get it. Them going out into the field, they have to feel much more confident about going into the field, and because there has to be something to it. Nobody in their right mind, a normal person who is a loving person and humane, wants to pull a gun. Nobody wants to do that. Like, you have to be a certain kind of person, and I don't think that's a very good person.
Well, it's not always a good idea either. I mean,
right.
If a guy jumps on you, like, say you're a cop, right, and a guy jumps on you and starts attacking you for some reason.
Right.
The worst thing you could do right now is try to take your weapon out.
Right. Now you're in a wrestling match.
You're in a wrestling match, and there's a weapon in play.
Right.
It happened in Hillsborough County a few years ago. I forget the details, but this big guy was getting arrested, cop was arresting him. Wound up getting into a resisting arrest thing. I don't know how this, I don't know the exact details, but basically the guy overpowered the cop, the sheriff, and was beating him up. But thank God for those holsters that don't allow you to pull out the gun unless you're the, you know, like,
right.
You have to know exactly how to pull the gun out properly.
Right. It's like a child lock.
So this guy was punching him and trying to get his gun out, and he couldn't get the gun out. For like 10 minutes, he couldn't get the gun out. Finally, backup showed up. And the only reason why the guy survived was the guy couldn't figure out how to get the gun out of the holster. That gun came out. It was that guy's, not the sheriff's anymore.
That is insane.
And I always tell
a huge dude.
I hope he got what he had coming.
Well, I always tell police, yeah, well, yeah, the second somebody tries to grab your gun, all bets are off. Everything is legal. You know? Because that's it. If they're grabbing your gun, they're trying to kill you.
Yeah. And the, you know, in the police training I do, we modify jiu-jitsu into protecting your gun. You know, that's like priority. Protect your gun. Make sure nobody can get to it. And then how to create space so that I can get to one of my weapons if I need to. But you draw your weapon, and you're in grabbing range of that guy. It's every bit his as it is yours the second it comes out of the holster. So a lot of the, you know, we modified jiu-jitsu to make it more about, you know, creating that space so I could safely draw my weapon if I need to, or protecting it, you know. And actually, there's plenty of the shoulder lock techniques. When they go for your gun, they expose their shoulder for what we call the Kimura.
Right. Great move.
Or as Fabricio Verdum would say, Kimura.
Kimura.
I was interviewing once, and he's so happy. He gets so excited and happy when he talks about his past fights when he finishes in submission. He'd be like, yes, and that one I won in Kimura.
With the Kimura.
Like, he's so happy about it.
Keep the pressure tight. Keep the foot on the hip. Make it tight.
I don't know if you guys know the story or not, but that's how this whole MMA talk show actually started, and this is like 5 years ago. Fabricio Verdum and Travis Brown walked into this building, and they walk in, and I'm working as a receptionist at the time because I just got hired by CBS Radio. They're kind of like...
And they're just looking for a place to go to the bathroom?
They're just like testing, right. They're just testing me out to see, you know, like what I can do. So I'm at the front desk. All of a sudden, Fabricio Verdum and Travis Brown both walk in, and I know that those two guys are about to fight in like 3 days. And I'm like, why are they together? Is it fake? It's not fake. It can't be fake. It's the UFC. So anyway, I watch them walk in, and it clicks. I'm like, wait a minute. They're here to talk to some clown on our sports station that doesn't know a thing about MMA. That upset me. So anyways, I got a picture with them that day. I told them, I'm like, you know, guys, I don't know who you guys talked to today, but just so you know, I'm the real UFC fan here. Like, I just was so entitled, of course.
Was that the fight where Verdum wound up kicking, what's his name?
No.
That was the second fight.
That was a couple years later, yeah. No, the first fight, they were actually way more friendly. Not only that, at that time, Fabricio Verdum hadn't lost, he hadn't even won his title yet. Actually, he won, so he beat Travis Brown that weekend, won the interim title. I believe that's what happened, and then went on to win the world title against Kane in Mexico, which is what happened. Okay. So that's when that was. And so, anyways, what I was getting at is that was before Verdum won, because when he lost his titles, when he kind of changed a little bit and started kind of acting a little cranky here and there and a little different than. Because Verdum was always the nice guy. He was always super nice and cordial, and you just knew you were going to get a laugh out of him. And all of a sudden, he just, you know, he
started throwing boomerangs at people.
He started picking a fight with Tony Ferguson at a media scrum.
Yeah, I saw that too.
You know, it was just a little bit odd. And so no, it was before
what
all
an
that.
Odd weapon of choice.
Did you? You
know, no, it was in Australia, so it was a gift from a fan. A fan gave him a boomerang as a gift. Hey, we have to take a quick break because we're due for one more before the end of the show. So let's do that. We'll come right back.
Yeah, he threw a boomerang at Colby Covington.
That was hilarious.
It was freaking hysterical.
Did you see the video of that?
No.
Yeah,
no.
Colby Covington runs his mouth about.
Diego, if you can, on this computer, pull up the video of...
blast him in the face from...
We're dealing with
throwing a boomerang.
Coming around? W-E-R-D-U-I.
Oh, he just, like, hit him with it.
No, enjoying this. Like, whipped it at him from here, though. But, like, blast him right in the face with a freaking boomerang. It was the funniest thing you ever saw.
Don't you love when it's a Google search?
Oh, you... It is hysterical. Because, you know, Colby Covington was always...
Hey, go back to the other one that was only 30 seconds, please.
You know, Colby Covington's always making fun of Brazilians. And he took offense to it.
You're always making fun of Brazilians.
Yeah, I know. But I'm actually with you.
He said, all right, watch. He's got it in a bag. He's taking it out of the bag. It's like a gangster. Boom. Yeah, run that back a couple times.
Thanks for joining us on Tampa Bay's business address, Money Talk 1010, and on FM at 103.1.
He's like, bam! Hey, he slipped it though. You got it. He rolled it with his shoulder and slipped it. Because that could have been really bad.
I just, what an odd weapon of choice, you know?
But it's what he had in his hand. He pulled up, that's some.
It could have been anything. That's hammered.
Hey, that's where that South American in you comes out. Like, right. The mom that takes her slipper off. Like, whatever you can throw, you're going to throw. Like, an American dude would be like, no, dude, don't throw that. That costs money. Like, can't throw that.
That's hilarious. Oh, I like that you can slow it down.
Hey, whoever the fan is that gave that to him should have been charged as, like, an accomplice.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's attempted murder, right?
I think any lawyer would have gotten him out of that.
That's attempted comedy is what that is.
What are we looking at?
Ross Kellen.
Last one. We're almost done.
Play up, Rock.
Welcome back to the final segment of the two-hour MMA talk show. I'm Mark Charles. Sonny Parlin is here. You can go to GracieBradenton.com. If you are down near Bradenton, Sarasota, or that area, you can train with a true black belt in jiu-jitsu. And Rob Kahn's here as well. Is he a black belt? Rob's a black belt.
Rob's a truer black belt.
Truer? He's so true.
Just older.
Just older
and a slight bit more crusty.
Your black belt still has the plastic wrap on it though. Yours is two years.
Just over a year, yeah. September.
Belated congratulations.
Still got the price tag on it.
You know what? I want to hear a little more. I want to hear Kevin again. Kevin Gallagher. Can we turn the mics off though? Because I want our listeners to be able to hear it. Mics off, and then Kevin Gallagher telling us a little bit about his wins. So, Kevin, if you could go ahead and tell us some more about that.
Oh, and the Masters.
That one was my fault. All right, three. This is three. So, I talked to Kevin Gallagher earlier, and he tells us about his wins.
But it was such a pain in the ass.
Wrong one again. It's the wrong one. So, it's the wrong one, you stop it. When it's the wrong one, we stop it. We're learning as we go here. It's just training on the go. This is all crashed. Rob Kahn's like, I cannot wait to get back to the Bubba the Love Sponge show so I can feel like I'm in a professional radio show.
I don't feel so bad about my podcast anymore.
We don't have mics on anymore. Let's try this one more time. One more time. Kevin Gallagher, tell us about how your year has went. Number four. There it is. So
that was the first one she played.
Yeah. I just wanted a reminder. No, it wasn't. The pain. The first one she played was it. Was Rob. Telling us about how.
No. When you asked her just now, I mean.
Yeah.
She played the right one, and then you told her it was wrong.
Yeah.
I got your back, sweetie.
No, I'm.
I'm sorry. Don't me too me now because I called.
No, I'm on this one too. That was the one she just played.
My former host got me too. That's why he's not here anymore.
Oh, really?
Right. Does that include producing?
She said that and then put the mic away. Like,
see, that's a mic drop. That's a radio mic drop right there. Right. It's like, I've got something to say and I'm done. Boom. All right, guys. So, Sonny Parlin, are you going to continue the podcast so that people can have, you know, have content, MMA, jiu-jitsu, whatever.
I realized, you know, I've started blogs before and I've gotten pretty big audiences.
You're the resident nerd in Greece.
Yeah, I am. I'm a pretty big nerd.
Yeah.
But, you know, the problem is it's like every time I do something, like, it always falls off. We never follow through with it.
Except for getting your black belt.
Well, yeah.
That's a consistency.
But I think the key to a podcast or any kind of blog or any kind of thing you do is just you got to keep doing it no matter what, man. I don't care if two people are listening. You just got to keep doing it.
That's right. Content is king. Content is king. I can't stress that enough. At the end of the day, content.
I mean, I went back to Connecticut recently for a tournament, and I was speaking with the bass player for. I feel like an idiot.
We're probably not going to know what the band is anyway, even when say them.
But it's a popular band, and I was just asking him how they made it, and he was like, "Man, we just kept playing shows over and over again. We never stopped." And I was like, "Man,
Mountain Nation theirs."
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I've been acting goofy all day, guys, and just having a good time. that doesn't mean that having you guys here is not a total honor and privilege. I want you guys to know that. Rob,
it doesn't
more
feel
than
like it's been 2 hours.
25 what, seconds? Nah, we're going to have to push that. So make sure that nothing plays for a second here. We're going to have to push that. So I just want to make sure everybody knows, man. Total honor, man. Like, it
my
means,
pleasure.
I know
my
you pleasure. Guys, I know you guys are more than willing to come and hang out, but it really means a lot. You know, you guys are the guys who are actually teaching people how to be part of what we're talking about here. You know, that means something to me. And thanks for telling, you know, I know along the way you probably told a couple students, hey, that Mark Charles guy, go ahead, you can do his show or whatever the case is. So that's cool.
No, I've always had a great time.
You're like, hey, free advertising. Yeah, of course. Would have sent a monkey if you asked.
No, I've always had a blast on the show, Mark. You're a good guy.
No,
I hope to come on your new show. Talk about other things.
Other things like politics and religion?
Yes.
That should be fun. Yeah, just kidding.
Definitely want Rob on for...
politics and religion?
Yeah. Rob has the ability to tick off an entire country. I've seen it. He ticked off the entire country of Argentina.
Yeah, they hate me.
Wow.
This is a true story.
Can we end on this story?
We're going to end on this story.
So, Matt Arroyo, who's like my brother, his wife is from Argentina. And, you know, when they played in the World Cup a couple of years ago,
yep.
I showed up, they invited me to the party, so I showed up in Netherlands jersey.
Ooh.
In a room.
That's a nasty thing to do.
50 Argentinians.
The orange one that's like blatantly like
yes.
loud? Wow.
Yes.
Jeez, oh, peace.
So at the end, when they did lose, they ripped the shirt off of me, threw it in the barbecue, and yes, they threw in the barbecue.
That's funny. I know what Brazilian barbecue is. Now I know what Argentinian barbecue is.
I literally bought the shirt just to annoy them. So I only owned the shirt for like 3 hours.
And by the way...
Oh, but tell them the rest, though.
Oh, but let's not forget that that Netherlands lost to Spain in the World Cup Finals. Just throwing that out there. I want to bet.
It doesn't stop there, though, because Rob started cyberbullying the entire
country
of Argentina.
Just because you're friends with Hoist Gracie doesn't mean you can go after an entire South American country.
Starting with Natalia's relatives.
I made fun of their performance in the Falkland Islands.
He said Falcon, guys, just so you know, the Falcon Islands. All right, guys, we are late like a teenage girl in high school. We've got to go. We'll be back are we back next week? Yeah, we're back next week. Outside Interference Wrestling Radio 2 hour special. That's it. Rob Kahn, Gracie Tampa. Website, please.
GracieTampa.com.
All right. There's too many Gracie Tampas. That's the one I always mess up.
Yeah, GracieTampa.com.
Cool. GracieTampa.com, GracieBradenton.com. Guys, thank you so much. This is kind of what I was hoping, just to just lay back and hanging out. We're super late. I'm going to get charged for this.
Mr. Falcon.
Yeah, those Argentinians were sending me death
threats. You know I love you, Leo.
They were sending me death threats.
That happened.
Yeah. No, but they weren't sending them to me. They were sending them to Natalia in Spanish. And she was really...
Well, that's when it's really scary, though.
Basically, they were going to murder me because I made fun of them.
How do you...